It is hour number three here on the Morning Tailgate, Raider Nation Radio. Vince, Vinny, and Clay coming to you in this final hour and joining us now, as he does every Friday, Fusion Odyssey Super Bowl champion, Chris Thomas. Good morning, Chris. How are we today?
Doing great, V, man. Doing really, especially with that intro. You guys, like, dialed me up with that intro right there.
Bro, well, you know we have to do it right. I mean, this is
Super Bowl
just,
champion, man.
I mean, come on. What do you think we're doing here? This ain't no amateur hour. This is the real deal. This is the tailgate.
I'm telling you, it only took 20 weeks.
Hey, it only took how many weeks since I was aboard? Just saying, common denominator right here. Chris, let's get right into it. What we look to on Sunday, week three, here at the tailgate, we've been talking about how this is not just a win for the Raiders, or should be a win, but this should be a convincing win. Now, obviously, the Raiders are on the kind of opposite end of the spectrum compared to last week when everybody picked against them. So when you go into a situation like this, as a former player, take us in the room of going from everyone's picking against us to now the pressure, I guess, if you call it. Everyone is picking you to not just win, but do so in a manner that will appease everyone.
Well, I think what's great about most pro athletes is they don't care about appeasing everyone. They're just trying to get a dub. Right, like that's at the end of the day, that's what it boils down to. We don't care how we win; we care that we win. Everyone else cares how much we win by, what it looks like. But when it's all said and done, they're just trying to get a victory. One victory moves you closer to, you know, the end goal, which ultimately is the playoffs, which ultimately is the conference title, which ultimately is the Super Bowl. So, I think everyone outside the locker room are the ones who worry about that. Inside the locker room, they're just trying to get prepared to get a dub. It's not really about the opponent and what they should do. It's about being prepared to do what they're capable of doing to end up with a dub.
And I get all that, Chris, and I'm right there with you. But at the same time, out of the other ear, I'm hearing, you know, Davante Adams continually say it needs to look a certain way. And it's always, you know, in reference to even in wins, how the Raiders win. This is an inferior opponent that the Raiders should be able to handle pretty easily. I know they don't come very easy in the NFL. I get that and I understand it. But how much for the confidence of a football team, how important is it to handle your business in a way that's a convincing victory over an inferior team rather than skate by or just get by a win over a team that you know intuitively that you're better than? I get it. You accept every win and they're all important and you don't complain about them. But at the same time, couldn't this be a confidence boost if you take care of business the way you should?
So, yeah, and let me clarify that. So, yes, on one hand, a win is a win. On the other hand, I completely get what Devontae's saying, and that is we're not winning right now in a way that's sustainable against really good teams, right? They got 4 yards rushing in the first half this last game, 43 total yards in the first half. You're not winning ball games like that against really good football teams, generally speaking, every week, you know, in and out. So I get it. Like, we have to be producing and creating a product that week in and week out looks like it can create sustainable victories, right? And it's right now, I mean, let's face it, you look at that Baltimore Ravens game in the second half, they don't get that call in the end zone, right, on Devontae for pass interference. You know, they don't end up scoring. You know, they don't get the, you know, huge sack by Max Crosby, where they're pretty much 3rd and 19 and they can't really get a first down, you know, who knows what happens? You know, if the guy doesn't shank a 27-yard punt, who knows what happens, right? So there are certainly things that you got to clean up and there are things they have to do better. And so I don't want to mistake taking a victory for, hey, we're not going to win every week like this. We got to clean some things up. That's one of them. So I completely understand what he's saying. And to your point, VB, yes, it is. It is important that every week you look like you're making progress in the things that could potentially prohibit you from finding the win column. And this is a perfect week to do that. So I completely agree. There's no reason you can't establish a run game. The passing game, as we kind of talked about earlier, I knew Brock Bowers would be a huge part of the passing game because Gardner Minshew's been around a long time. When you have, you know, a tight end like that, he runs like a wide receiver, you're going to use the heck out of him. And so their passing game, I think, looks good. It's on track, but you can't be one-dimensional. They were completely one-dimensional. They got to figure out the run game. They can't be giving up, you know, the big plays on the defensive side. You know, the second half wasn't as clean as the first half. And so, yeah, it's got to look a certain way. I agree. And if it does, then they're going to get that convincing victory, and everyone's going to feel great about their momentum going into the following week. But, yeah, you certainly can't overlook Carolina. They're going to be hungry because they want to win, and now they got Andy Dalton at the helm. Who knows what a changing quarterback is going to do for those guys having a bit more energy to find a victory. You know, who knows what's going to happen. Maybe he plays reckless enough and makes some big plays. But, you know, at the end of the day, they got to handle what they can handle. That is cleaning up the run game so that they do have a very, you know, versatile offense that looks sustainable week in and week out.
It's the voice of former Super Bowl champion Chris Thomas here with us on the Morning Tailgate. Chris, a longtime NFL wide receiver and special teams, also is a performance development mentor and life coach. You can go on to social media, check him out at Fusion Odyssey, DM him, and get the link to his video series, Unlocking the Mental Game. In fact, that's a part of my question, too. Can you expand on just a little bit of, you know, letdown moments coming off a big win, and then your next opponent is at home, a lesser opponent in some regards? How do you avoid letdowns, and what examples did you see from guys like Dick Vermeil, for example, to avoid those situations?
Well, again, I think that one of the things a good head coach does is keep you moving forward, right? It's always about what can we do better. You're never satisfied, even when you do win. You're really never satisfied. There's always something you're trying to clean up and do better. So every week is about that, right? Because you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You're never staying the same, right? So it's all about how do we progress. And ultimately, when you lose, right, it's tough to come back from losses if you hang on to losses. It's not tough to come back from losses if you extract information from them to be better in your preparation to succeed in the next outing. So that's a really important aspect, and I think that's honestly probably one of the greatest qualities of a head coach. Can he get you to do that? I think that Antonio Pierce is great in that regard, but, yeah, not every coach is great at that, but I think the best ones, that's what they do well. There isn't a letdown when you lose, but also, you know, when you win, that was a tough-fought battle. Right. So that's a lot of energy to beat the Ravens. That's a good team. And they're going to find ways to win a bunch of games. But, you know, it's about not having a letdown as well after you won and taking a team like Carolina for granted. Right. Because that could happen very easily. Next thing you know, you're getting punched in the mouth trying to come back from a touchdown deficit. And you got a run game that's averaging, you know, 1.7 yards a carry. Right. Like that's you can't again become one dimensional. So I think it's just, yeah. I think a lot of it depends on the head coach and who the head coach is and how he gets guys moving forward.
Chris, you know, I'm not a scientist, but I know what chemistry is and I know what it looks like when it's kind of at its highest at the NFL at this point. But as someone whose job it was to create chemistry with a quarterback, right? Find that gelling. I understand it's not linear. There's no timeline for it, but it felt like watching Gardner Minshew in that last quarter and a half with Devontae, with Brock Bowers, it felt like and looked like that chemistry was found. Can that just happen organically where it's just found in a game and it can roll over? Or is that just a progression from camp into practice? I mean, as a receiver, when does the light bulb, I guess, go off like, okay, we're on that same page now?
Well, I think it is a progression, D, for sure. And that progression started a long time ago, right? And that's why you do all that work. That's why quarterbacks get together with wide receivers in the offseason, you know, outside of camps and outside of the training complex. That happens in the offseason. And there is a point where, honestly, it's the quarterback knowing his wide receivers, right? And this is what I've always told wide receivers. It's so important that a quarterback knows when you're going to be or where you're going to be and when you're going to be there. Right? Because everything's happening so fast around him. He can't be waiting to see if, like, you're going to do the same thing twice or three times or four times in a row. Because by that time, he's getting sacked. By that time, you're getting covered because he's going to be late. You know, he's throwing an interception. So he's got to know. It's one thing they always said with the Rams. You know, you need to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. And that's what made Kurt so good, because Isaac and Torrey and Oz and Ricky and everyone else, they were always where they're supposed to be when they were supposed to be there. So he could get the ball out well in advance. You watch Aaron Rodgers last night. He did a great job of that on multiple occasions. Missed a couple, but on multiple occasions, he did a great job of that. And I can't even quantify how important that is for a quarterback to know where you're going to be and when you're going to be there so he can let the ball go. And when you got guys like Devontae, you got guys like Brock, Michael, Jacoby, you know, all those guys – the chemistry happens naturally once you know, okay, I know this guy's route running. I know his speed. I know he's consistent, so now I can process, okay, this is when I'm going to throw the ball. I mean, it's what makes, you know, great quarterbacks great, to be honest with you, but the wideouts got to do their job really, really well, and clearly they're figuring that out together because they look really good down that stretch with Brock and with Devonta, for sure.
Chris, something else happened in Sunday's game, and it goes to the heart of the heart and soul of this Raiders team, and that was Max Crosby pulling Gardner Minshew aside on the sidelines. All the cameras caught it, and you know, emphatically kind of getting in his face and, you know, giving him words of encouragement. But in talking to Gardner Minshew afterwards, one thing that Max told him was, we need the Washington State Minshew. We need that Gardner right now. And Gardner was like, yeah, he's right. Let me go whip that up real quick. And from that moment on, Chris, the Raiders converted 5 of their next 6 real drives into scores. They scored 23 points. They had been pretty abysmal up until that point. And Gardner came alive, and that's where we saw the big plays to Brock Bowers and Devontae Adams. And I want to ask you this because you work on the mental side of things. It felt like what Max was telling him was relax and be you. Have fun. Be that carefree guy that we saw at Washington State and have seen in the NFL, because that's the best version of you, and that's the version of that the Raiders need. Is there something to be said about just sometimes taking a little bit of a breath and saying, I'm playing too carefully. I'm playing not to lose. Let me go be the carefree guy that I've been in my career and just go roll the dice and be that guy. And is there something to be said about that and the value in that?
Well, first, I mean, let me say this. How do you not love Max Crosby?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, I'm just going to be really real. I know I joke around sometimes on the show, but I mean, I absolutely love Max Crosby. That is a guy who gets it. He's 100% authentic. He is real. He completely gets what this game is about, and that is support, right? Like, this guy just throws a pick, run a tough game. He takes the time. He didn't have to do that, but he took the time to look him in the eye and be like, dude, we got you. It's okay. Like, you go be the WSU Gardner Minshew. Like, we trust that guy. We believe in that guy. It's all good. We got you. Like, I can't even tell you how much that means to changing the way someone's going to play. The disappointing part, and I don't want to get off topic, but the disappointing part is how many coaches don't get that. You know, and I get it. The game's heated. People get intense. We're all animated. We're all uptight. We all want to win. But, you know, you've seen coaches like Brian Dabble, like, blowing guys up, and the coach of the Titans, you know, blowing Will Levis up. And I get it. Yeah. I get it. But, like, you really think that's making them play better? Right? And Max said, dude, we got you. It's okay. Like, we're going to take care of you. You just go be the best you. And I can't even tell you what that does for a player. You know what I mean? And that's exactly what we need to be reminded of as pro athletes, because it's intense. It's a business. Wins matter. People get fired. People get traded. You get cut. Like, it's a business. And so we need to be able to be reminded that although it's a business, it's a game. The same game I loved when I was a kid, the same game I played carefree when I was a kid, the same game I played where the objective was not to try not to make a mistake, but rather go be great, which is why these schools gave me a chance to go play in college, which is why the NFL gave me a chance to fulfill this dream. I need to be reminded of that, because that doesn't happen very often. People don't take the time to remind you of that. And so the fact that he did that, I can't even tell you what that's going to mean for Garner, I think, moving forward, knowing that he's got that kind of support. And it's a visibility to everybody, right? It's everyone saw Max do that. So what he's telling you is, this is what I expect out of you. Like, we have to have each other's back. And I mean, I honestly believe that's a big part of why he played great. But, you know, it doesn't happen across the board, which is why Max Crosby is Max Crosby, why he's so special. And there needs to be more of him. I mean, he's just an amazing, amazing leader in the NFL. It's crazy. They're so lucky to have him.
Chris, we absolutely love your insight and the great work you're doing with student athletes, amateur athletes, pro athletes at Fusion Odyssey. We encourage everyone to go up to DMU at Fusion Odyssey, get the link to the video series Unlocking the Mental Game, and we appreciate your time. Let's do it again next week and see where the chips have fallen after the Raiders' home opener.
Let's go, Chris!
Let's go. And by the way, my IG handle and my other handles are going to change soon, but my IG handle is Chris47Thomas now.
I'm on it right now. I'm on it.
We get on the gram. Hey, thanks, Chris. We appreciate your time.
All right, my friends. Have a great weekend.
All right, thank you.
You too.
It's Chris Thomas here with us on Friday's former Super Bowl champion. And as Vince explained it, like that, sometimes you have turning points that will happen on the field. But that one was, because of its visibility, how could you not think that could be a turning point that leads a bond on a team to go even further into the season?
And it was who, and it was when, and it was Gardner Minshew at his lowest, yeah. And it was the biggest, the face of the franchise going up to him. And again,
and it was what happened next.
Right? that's the context that we move forward with. But even that moment, I just think it was so important. You have a guy in Gardner Minshew that has been told, just be the facilitator. Like, we'll take care of the rest, right? He's at his absolute lowest. He's coming off a rough week one debut with the Raiders. He's having a terrible first half. Throws an interception that was a bad one. Mm-hmm. And then the face of the franchise, the leader in the locker room, Max Crosby, gets in his face and says, we got you.
And what we need from you.
I can't amplify enough what that must have done and felt for Gardner. Because you can sit there and high-five a guy all day saying, hey, man, good practice. You can do all that. But until your feet are to the fire and you are feeling the pressures of the walls closing in on you on the road in Baltimore against a Super Bowl contender, and the guy that you look up to, that everybody in the locker room looks up to, you says, we got you. But we know what you can do. Go do it.
Go be that guy. That was, to me, the key to the whole thing. Having his back, obviously, was huge as well, because it's like, they have my back. And which also means, look, even if you go make a mistake being the Gardner Minshew and the Minshew Mania, we'll still have your back. We're going to have your back, but we can't move forward unless you start playing like that guy. And that was a mental thing. It was much more than physical. It was a green light to just go be you. We got your back, whatever happens, whatever the result of that might be. But there's no way we can move forward unless you get back to being that guy. And he got back to being that guy. It was a great, great leadership.
In fact, thinking about that guy, Tim Murray from VSiN.
Ooh.
Oh, we cannot wait to get the information that he has divulged and compiled for this moment. We'll go around the country for some great college football. Coming up next with Tim Murray from VSiN.
And maybe make you some money. We'll see. Speaking of money, maybe you're in a position right now where you need $500, $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Maybe some bill just came out of nowhere and you're a little bit worried because your credit cards are maxed out or the credit's not where it needs to be. Don't worry, because for over 20 years, the experts at LendingStore.com have helped millions of people find the money that they need, and all credit types are welcome. Now money is as close as your phone and as soon as tomorrow. So why wait? Just go to LendingStore.com, have their experts help you find a lender that can get you that $500 to $5,000 in your bank account as early as tomorrow. Don't lose sleep. Just go over to LendingStore.com for all the details.
We're ready to scour the countryside, going over the biggest college football games with Tim Murray from VSiN on the Morning Tailgate.
All right, here we go. Week 4 of the college football slate, and Tim Murray is here with us doing his own Saturday college football tailgate show on VSiN Saturday mornings. Of course, the host on the college football podcast that VSiN does. And, of course, the host Monday through Friday game time with JVT. Tim, thank you for being with us. All right, can we start with this? The Oklahoma Sooners haven't been a home dog in quite a while, but here they are going up against the Tennessee Volunteers, who seem to be storming everybody. You've actually, I've noticed up on social media on X, you've been outlining the line movements for this game for several weeks now. You've had your eye on this. Has your mind changed since the opening rollout number for this game in Norman?
Yeah, it's really fascinating to kind of keep an eye on the history. At least I find it fascinating. Many people probably think it's just nerdy, but over the summer, Tennessee was a 4.5-point underdog against Oklahoma, and now they're laying north of a touchdown. Actually, last check, it does look like a little bit of resistance is coming into the market right now and coming in on Oklahoma. Look, this is – I have Chuck Esposito from Stations on every Saturday at 8:30, and my first question to him always is, who's the biggest public side? And the past 2 weeks, it was Iowa 2 weeks ago. 88% of the bets were on Iowa against Iowa State. Iowa State came back to win that game. And then last week, 84% of the bets were on Georgia. They won, but did not cover against Kentucky. My guess this week is that the most public side will be Tennessee. And that number sits at 7. Guys, do you know the last time Oklahoma was a touchdown underdog at home was?
I do not.
Oh, God. Was it like Barry Switzer era or something like that?
1998.
All right. What?
Oh,
1998
man.
1998 was the last time. Now, if you go back to that game, I think they got their doors blown off, so maybe not. We don't want to bring that up all that much. But, look, it just doesn't happen all that often. So, Wow. Look, you know, the common belief is we're trying to make these drastic changes now in the betting market and trying to avoid the overreactions, right? And it does feel like it's a little bit of an overreaction. So, you know, what I pointed out on social media, to your point, Clay, was that Matt Grill from DraftKings Sportsbook came on the show last week and said they opened up this game in the look-ahead line at 2. Mm. 140 of the 141 bets that came in were on Tennessee. And that'll just continue. And now we've seen another movement to 7. I just think it's a little bit too much. Nico Iamaleava has looked the part. He's looked very impressive so far. Look, they are a run game first. Tennessee is. Their defense is strong. Oklahoma's getting a little healthier on the offensive line. I'll take 7. If I lose, I lose. But, you know, that's kind of been the way this year has gone so far. Me and Matt Eumanns did our podcast yesterday. We were both kind of pulling our hair out because the ugly dogs that we love so much have not been barking all that often. But, you know, catching 7 at home, I think, is a spot that I just have to take the Sooners.
All right, I got to go to that Big Ten classic matchup. The surf against the turf, basically. We're talking USC against Michigan at the Big House tomorrow. I think kickoff is 12:30 local time. First of all, this one gets your blood boiling a little bit. This one, you got to take notice of this game, right? And what are your thoughts on the Trojans heading out to Ann Arbor? I think a game that they can win. They should win, probably.
Yeah, I mean, over the summer, they were a 10-point favorite at South Point when they opened up their game of the year lines. Michigan was. And then last week, it was around 2. Now it's up 5, 5.5. We've seen a little bit of buyback coming in here on Michigan. Michigan makes the change at quarterback. They go away from Davis Warren. Great story. Walk on, overcame cancer, but the fact of the matter was he was just turning the ball over way too much. 2 touchdowns to 6 picks. And, you know, Sherrone Moore's made the decision to go to Alex Orji, who I think all of us believed that Alex Orji would be the guy coming out of camp, and he didn't win the job. So it does make you have some pause there. Look, USC, we talked about this defense, I want to say, a couple weeks ago on the program. D'Anton Lynn, Anthony Lynn's son, has done a marvelous job as their defensive coordinator this year. Their defense is real right now. They're tackling. They're well-coached. They've got, you know, other big-time coaches on that staff, the former Houston defensive coordinator, North Dakota State's head coach once upon a time is now on that defensive staff. So I trust in this defense. I trust in Lincoln Riley. I don't necessarily want to get involved in the point spread here, even though I would lean Michigan. I just don't know if I could trust this offense, but it does feel like now that they've gone to Alex Orji, guys, they're going to want to really control the clock in this game, limit the possessions, keep Miller, Moss, and company off the field. So I played 44.5 under. 44s are still out there. Obviously, key number in college football is 45, so we're missing out on that best number. Maybe we get a little buyback on game day, but I think this is a lower scoring kind of, you know, the old rock fight type of game. I think that's the way Michigan's going to want to do it, and I'm fascinated to see Wink Martindale go up against Lincoln Riley here in what should be a pretty fun chess match. And Wink Martindale, has he learned his lesson? I mean, he loves the blitz, and they were beat by the blitz or, you know, quite a bit against Texas. Oh, yeah. We'll see if they're able to do it. By the way, Michigan 0-3 ATS to start the year, so it's not been great from a better standpoint with the Wolverines.
4 matchups this weekend featuring ranked teams, so the top 25 gonna see some little shakeups here and there. But Tim, I gotta ask you, I know they're idle this weekend, but UNLV top 25 for the first time. You told us last week Texas State needs to lose against Arizona State.
Yes, sir.
And what do those Sun Devils do? 31-28, and then the next day UNLV on national TV.
Yeah.
You know,
let's go.
Hey,
it is all Tim Murray.
It's setting up, Vince. It's setting up beautifully because now the UNLV already has two Power Four wins under their belt.
Yeah.
Yes, it's Houston and Kansas, but it's two Power Four wins. They get to host Syracuse October 4th. Another opportunity. By the way, Rebel fans, huge Syracuse fans tonight. Go Cuse. You want them to keep winning.
Okay, this is what we need to know.
You want Syracuse to win tonight. You want Syracuse to win the ACC.
I'm worried about
Syracuse.
You want
them
to
keep on going. Oh, they're a good team. Kyle McCord's slinging it, man. But before we worry about that, we got Fresno State to worry about next week. But look, it's all setting up well for UNLV to have the opportunities in front of them. Hosting Boise State. Hosting Fresno State, hosting a Power Four team in Syracuse. So they're undefeated. Barry Odom is the best cover coach in college football since he got to UNLV, 13-4 against the spread.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it rolling here. The opportunity is out. Another game, I'll keep pointing out the G5 teams we want to lose.
See, this is the information the Rebels need, because all of a sudden 2 weeks ago, Tim, before you get to that, 2 weeks ago, everyone was talking about, man, this schedule for UNLV. I mean, and that was all in the assumption they were going to lose at Kansas in terms of getting to where they wanted to be. All of a sudden, the schedule now looks pretty favorable for the Rebs.
Ooh, well, I mean, Syracuse looks good, though.
Opportunities, I'll say that. Yeah. I won't say favorable. I'll say opportunities are there for the Rebels to be in contention for the G5 bid. All right, teams we're cheering for this weekend. East Carolina.
Okay.
Ooh.
East Carolina goes to Liberty. They just lost their top cornerback, so that's not ideal. I think the Pirates have a chance to be live against Liberty this weekend. They're catching 7.5 right now across the market, so we've seen a little bit of market reaction to this news that just came out that Siobhan Revelle, one of the top corner prospects in the country, tore his ACL this week in practice for East Carolina, so not ideal. But what didn't help UNLV was App State got absolutely bludgeoned last night by South Alabama. Why that doesn't help UNLV, in my opinion, App State hosts Liberty next weekend. We need Liberty to lose. They look vulnerable. They're going to be a favorite in every single game, but we need Liberty to get out of the question. We need them to lose a game, because if they're undefeated like they were last year, the committee could make a mistake and put them in. So we're cheering hard.
East Carolina.
For East Carolina.
Let's go.
And then if you want to get a little more crazy.
Yes.
Go
I
crazy.
Do.
We love to get crazy.
I do.
And ask yourself, do you love America? Because I love America.
I do, yes. I mean,
go Mids. Navy. Huge weekend. Memphis off their win over Florida State. We need Navy to pull the upset over Memphis. They're a 9.5-point home dog. Great situational spot for the Mids. Coming off a bye. Memphis just beat Florida State. So we're cheering for East Carolina, and we're cheering for Navy this week for the UNLV and
the way,
Syracuse tonight, because we want Syracuse to be good.
Where does Memphis ultimately end up in the conference scramble?
Pac-12.
Ooh, okay.
I think so. I think Pac-12. I think UNLV and Memphis end up there. So I do a radio show in Memphis twice a week, and we had a reporter on from Oregon, very well piped in.
James.
Why am I forgetting his name right now? We had him on. Krenna, hold on.
Yeah, our guy from Oregon. Oh, no, you're talking about the columnist.
He's
very good. I know who you're talking about.
John Canzano.
John's tremendous.
So John's very piped in with the Pac-12 stuff. And Memphis and Tulane are number 7 and 8 on the wish list there of the Pac-12. And then number 9 would more than likely be UNLV. If UNLV does not end up taking the bid, then maybe it's South Florida. We'll see how it all plays out. But what John told us was interesting. Right now, the Pac-12's goal is 9 teams. And then maybe go on from there. But for 2026, it sounds like their target number is 9 teams. And in a perfect world, it would be Memphis, Tulane, UNLV, and those would be the final 3 teams. So, yeah, I think that's where they ultimately go. And I think the AAC, to me, in the landscape of where we are from the group of fives, it feels like they're losing a little bit of luster right now, especially if they lose, Memphis and Tulane. And, you know, they're targeting Air Force. But the Pac-12 is essentially trying to be the 5th best conference, which, hey, recognizing your place, and this is what the Big 12 kind of did a couple years ago with their new, their new commissioner, which was like, hey, we're not the SEC or Big 10. That's fine. we'll be third. We'll take your $35 million a year ESPN, what the Pac-12 was unwilling to do. So the Pac-12 now has a new mindset, new leadership, and they're saying, let's just be the fifth best, because guess what? The college football playoff, five auto bids are out there. Let's assure that we get that fifth auto bid.
It's Tim Murray, VSiN's primetime host, as well as College Football Tailgate Show every Saturday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Hey, just real quick, Florida State, one of those few teams that, you know, you lose your first three games outright as a favorite. They have Cal this week, a 2.5-point favorite. What do you think's happening?
Do you want to bet Florida State?
I don't want to get in front of that train.
I mean, Cal, from a situational standpoint, I don't love it, because you were just in Auburn. You won that game. You fly back across country. You beat San Diego State. Now you're flying back across country to Florida State. I mean, it's like a Hawaii type of travel situation there. I just, at some point, look, Florida State's going to win a game. They're not going to go winless. I don't know if this is the ultimate buy low spot out there. I fell for it last week. I'll say this. There was a shop that opened up Florida State like a 1.5-point favorite against Memphis.
Right.
I'm like, this is crazy. So I ended up taking some money line on Florida State. What happened? They stink and they lost again. So, you know, you're looking at a pretty rarefied era where Florida State could start the year 0-4 straight up with four losses as a favorite. Every ounce of my body is saying, Florida State, they're on sale. Got to bet them here. But then I watch them and I can't buy into this Florida State team. I love Justin Wilcox. I'm happy for him, the head coach of Cal. They've gotten off to obviously a great start. You know, they get to play Miami in a couple weeks there and Berkeley, so that should be a fun game. By the way, I don't know if anyone was up late night. my colleague Stormy Bonatoni, she was doing the sidelines there for Cal San Diego State last weekend.
Yes.
Did you see that Justin Wilcox yelled at the crowd? They were like throwing like paper airplanes onto the field, and they got assessed two personal foul penalties. And he got on the microphone that the ref had and yelled at the crowd like an upset parent.
They'll learn this time, that's for sure. Tim, thank you so much. It's great insight. We really love your perspective and really love your show and the podcast as well up at VSiN. Thanks again for coming on today.
All right, boys. See you.
Thank you.
Timbo.
Right. Tim Murray at One Tim Murray on X. What'd you think about the new and improved Pac-12 with a 9-team
It's interesting, right?
Bluster.
It's interesting.
No, I like the Memphis, UNLV, and Tulane inclusions.
Tulane's interesting.
Hey, yeah. New Orleans market. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the money's going to be there. I mean, and I've been saying this with UNLV, and one of the reasons why I don't believe anything is necessarily done with the Rebels is because I believe they're a rocket ship.
Yeah.
I think Barry Odom and that program kind of know they're a rocket ship right now, and their stock is only rising, and that only bodes well in those negotiations at the end of the day, because teams want winners, and everybody loves Las Vegas as a market. So I like it.
Coming up next, our final thoughts, keys of the game. It's Raider Nation Radio. Let's go.
I want to sit down.
The Morning Tailgate.
We have a new Paisan.
Oh! Vince Sapienza.
That's right, we do. Hey!
Vinny Bonsignor.
It's a stereotype, and it's offensive.
Clay Baker.
I'm German-Irish.
Oh!
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 Back up.
On Raider Nation Radio.
I want to sit down.
Final hour of the Morning Tailgate. It is the sit-down, and boys, I know we're Raider Nation Radio. Nowhere football show, but I still feel like we buried the lead.
Ohtani?
Shohei Ohtani.
Oh, yeah.
That was sick.
So 35 years ago, Jose Canseco, Vegas's Jose Canseco, Raider fan, set the 40-40 club for the first time. And last night, Ohtani, not just the 50-50, he's now 51-51 club. First in Major League Baseball history.
Amazing. But he did it in a way that arguably the greatest single game of all time. This guy went six for six, three home runs, and 10 RBI.
So 6 for 6, three dingers, two doubles, a single, 10 RBI, four runs scored, two stolen bases.
He's just toying with people.
And
greatest player of all time?
Easy. It's easy.
On pace?
And he hasn't even done
what you could argue
he was even better at.
Somebody brought up the point that
pitching.
Don't be surprised
if he throws a little bit in the
playoffs, maybe coming out of the bullpen for an inning or here or there.
How wild would that? I mean, Skip Schumacher, Shoemaker. I mean, the game was out of hand last night. Could have, should have walked him, depending on who, wherever you think. But the fact that he didn't, and I guess somebody caught him on the broadcast basically saying too much respect.
Well,
to
Skip is a guy, a former player.
That's what I mean. Like,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
so good on
I
him.
Know Skip. Yeah, of
good
course.
On him.
Even though it was a, I think it was a position player.
Just for anybody who's not watching, who has not watched, it behooves you. If you are claimed to be any kind of a sports fan, we are witnessing the greatest baseball player ever right now.
In our
era, doing it at his, it's got to be prime. It's hard to imagine even more, but this is prime, incredible. You got to just appreciate the level that...
Think about the notorious way that the year started out with a gambling betting scandal kind of hovering over him.
That feels like 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's like... And then
he really let that all affect him.
Yeah.
By the way, what is it? It's maybe 35 miles from Dodger Stadium to Anaheim.
Yeah.
35 miles doesn't seem like a whole lot. But what a totally different world between the Dodger brand and the Angel brand. Like, he was putting up great numbers, no doubt. I mean, obviously, that's why he got the contract that he got in Anaheim. But it was like cotton candy. You know, you put cotton candy in your mouth, it tastes good for a second, but then it just dissipates. Because we never got a chance to see him on the highest stages, which
in the biggest moments,
like you can argue that the Dodger uniform is as big as it gets
late September, in baseball. October, yep.
And now he's going on to the biggest stage of all in the playoffs. And I'm interested to see, hopefully, you know, if the Mets cross paths with him, they figure out a way to slow him down. But man, what a baseball player.
Not a cotton candy guy.
Neither am I.
No.
You used to have to make it. We worked at a skating rink, and I used to have to make it. It was just disgusting.
I just don't like the feeling on your fingertips.
What, do you eat it with your fingers?
Well, when you're picking at it. You're grabbing
that's
pieces.
That's true. I forgot about that part of it.
How are you eating it? Well, you're just eating it like
that was a long time ago.
You're like corn dog? Just,
yeah, you can
no,
do
you
that.
No, you kick it with your fingers.
But it just melts in your mouth. Like, it's just like, it was like, it didn't even exist except for the blue that it left on your tongue or red.
You know,
or
there's no payoff.
You know who is a cotton candy guy? Skylar Thompson.
Skylar!
He plays like cotton candy, according to Clay.
I know. He's a cotton candy guy in the playoffs against Buffalo.
Where do you find Skylar Thompson? That's the quote of the day. Where do you find Skylar Thompson? Go to a dog park, pick up a trash bag. That's Clay.
Skylar Thompson wants a sit down.
Ooh.
He wants a sit down.
Clay would just love a sit down.
Just wait until he's waiting after the bye week.
You can't whack a made man.
Right. He's on the books.
Oh, boy. Off the rails. What a show. What a show, boys.
Big win for the big win for the Raiders, I believe, on Sunday coming. That's my prediction. It's going to be a convincing.
Two scores?
Definitely two scores.
A victory Monday pending?
Yeah.
Impending doom.
Good. I like this. This is where it's going. Catch our podcast up online, lvsportsnetwork.com. Download the free LV Sports Network app. It streams clearly on both Android and iPhone each and every day and links you up to our podcast. We're done for the day. Make sure you keep it on Raider Nation Radio all day long. We're JT the Brick from 12 to 2 and Q Myers from 2 to 5. For Vince, for Vinny, I'm Clay. Have a great day, everybody. Eisen is next.